What's the latest on the crew? Let's go inside the clubhouse with Drew Wagner of Forbes Sports on Wisconsin Sports Daily. Served up by Wendy's on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan. Inside the clubhouse is brought to you by Focus Baseball. Sign your kids up now for July open tryouts at focusbaseball.com. Ages 6 to 17.
All right, joining us now is the aforementioned Andrew Wagner. He joins us on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. Mr. Wagner, I know you are getting ready for Brewers and Rockies. How are you doing this beautiful Friday afternoon?
I'm doing delightfully, Sparky. It's a beautiful day in southeast Wisconsin. The sun is shining. And you know how much I love joy and happiness.
You can tell it in your voice that you get very excited about joy and happiness. Charlie Usen, our producer, said that you had some really good story time for us here for this segment. So what exactly is he talking about?
Yeah, we're going to skip over that. I'm just going to say when you go to the DMV to apply for a new title and transfer your plates, double check that they got everything right because it could lead to some trouble down the road.
Oh, no. Man, what is the deal with you? You always get some jinx, weird, bad luck stuff, don't you?
I do. But, hey, it's baseball night in Milwaukee. Let us celebrate.
Yeah, let's celebrate. Kyle Freeland against Jose Quintana for this Brewers team right now. If I asked you, and I know, so don't tell me, it's June, Sparky, I don't know. But if I was asking you right now, who would be your top three in a playoff rotation for this Brewers team as we sit currently?
Right now, I mean, Freddie.
Peralta, yep.
Probably Priester. And then, I mean, you're probably looking at, if you're saying right this second, you probably have to look at Miz. You know, those are probably your top three. More likely, if it were to happen, I think Quintana would be in one of those three, just because of his experience, being a veteran, that kind of thing. But, like, ideally, at this exact moment, like, if you're going just based on numbers, I mean, I think Priester and Peralta and Miz are your top three in any particular order.
This is going to sound crazy, but we don't know if Brandon Woodruff is going to be Brandon Woodruff when he comes back here in the next week or so, right? But if Brandon Woodruff is as good as Brandon Woodruff has shown in the past, then obviously it's Peralta, Woodruff, and then you talk about three. Then three clearly is Mizorowski, providing that they haven't reached an innings limit or something like that, if they trust him to go in there and pitch more innings in the playoffs. But let's say Mizorowski has reached the innings limit and he's not in there. I just don't know, man, if I trust Quintana. I know he's got a sub-3 ERA and all of that, but there's still a part of me that when he pitches, I'm just kind of waiting for him to get hammered. I still don't think I have all the trust in the world in that guy to be a top three guy in the rotation. And in fact, I'll take it a step farther. Like, I know they're going to be active at the deadline, and they're probably going to, you know, have to trade some pitching in order to get a hitter if that's what they decide to do. I don't think I'd be opposed to trading Quintana if it gets you a decent bat.
Yeah, listen, I wouldn't be opposed either, and I know this is going to be the most unpopular thing. I wouldn't be opposed either to trading Freddie. I really wouldn't. I think you can get a much better return for Freddie with that $8 million option out there next year. I think he's an incredibly good pitcher. I think he's an addition to the staff, but you have so many young guys that, let's face it, if Freddie was the guy that was going out there every fifth day and giving you 7-8 innings on a regular basis, it's a completely different conversation. But because of that effectiveness and because of that tendency to jump your pitch count up really high and barely get into the six most starts, I think it's something that you at least have to explore. And
I don't think we can even talk about it,
it tells you how incredibly overloaded the Brewers are with young starting pitching. Because remember, one name that we haven't even brought up yet, because it's been so long now, Robert Gasser's going to come back before this year is over, too. And we saw what that kid did when he came up and made his debut last year before that unfortunate injury. Like, he's going to be in the mix before the season is over. He's going to play a role. He's going to be a factor. They are lousy with talented starting pitching right now, where it makes it possible to look at this as a luxury, as, you know what, we can at least explore these opportunities.
This is the thing. I'm not trading Freddie Peralta under any circumstance if we're in this. Not because I disagree with you, because I don't disagree with you. I think they are loaded for bear with pitching. I mean, Logan Henderson is a guy that I would feel completely confident in putting in this rotation and being fine with going forward, you know, providing he's not having to worry about an innings limit as well. But from the perspective of, I'm not going through Josh Hader again, Wags. I'm not. I don't want to go through that.
I get that part.
I don't, because if you trade
part of it,
if you trade him, do you rip the heart out of that clubhouse and then they can't recover? Not to mention the fan base, but you would rip the heart out of that clubhouse if Peralta got traded, unless it was for, you know, some for sure stud third baseman that nobody saw getting traded at the deadline. If it was something like that, then maybe it's a little bit different, or some type of hitter, like, I don't know, maybe if it's Bo Bichette on a rental and you trade Peralta with a year and a half left, or you get a star hitter, then maybe they get it. But if it's like Hader, no way. And I don't think they would ever allow themselves to do that again.
I don't think it would be to that extent. And you're right, it would definitely be a tough one to sell. But yeah, it's just one of those things, like if you're looking at it from a strictly immediate and long-term perspective, like, it makes sense.
Right.
It's a tough sell, and fans won't like it. You know, you might get some dissension in the clubhouse, but at the same time, they understand. You know, the weird thing is about all this trade deadline talk is, you know, the obvious positions to upgrade, that plan kind of got screwed of late, because now Caleb Durbin and Joey Ortiz are starting to hit the cover off the ball. And it kind of made you reevaluate how you're looking at that position, you know? Like, is there someone out there who is significantly better and guaranteed to put up better numbers than you're getting out of Durbin right now? Like, that's kind of a tough one.
I want power, and has not maybe analyze anything. I want power at shortstop or third base. If I'm not going to have it at shortstop, then find me power at third base and see what happens. Caleb Durbin is going to be either a really good second baseman that can play for years, or he's going to be a really good utility infielder that's going to play for years. But he will play in the NMLB for a long time. I just don't think his long-term future is as a starting third baseman in Major League Baseball at this point. What about the idea of the All-Star game and what exactly the Brewers are going to end up with and who is going to end up in the All-Star game for the Brewers? I brought this up to Tim Dillard yesterday. He joins us, the FanDuel Sports Wisconsin Brewers analyst, joins us each and every Thursday at 3:20. I said to Tim, I said, you know, Skeens made the All-Star team last year on 11 starts and got to start on 11 starts. Mizorowski's going to get two more starts, probably against the Mets and then once against the Dodgers, which means you could get Yamamoto against Mizorowski, you could get Ohtani against Mizorowski, whatever, but it could line up to be star-studded. If he pitches well in both those starts, you're at five starts. Do you think they put him in? Because he's going to draw, fans to the TV. People are going to watch him around the country.
It depends on who gets in ahead of him. Because, listen, he's not going to be one of the first guys that gets named to it. That's obvious. It depends on who gets named and who gets dropped out and what the pecking order is after that. I mean, yeah, it's nice to say, but is a guy with five starts going to find himself an All-Star consideration? Maybe if he goes out and puts together, yeah.
Let me ask you this. Every team has to have one representative. I don't think right now you can say anybody other than Freddie Peralta deserves necessarily to be in that All-Star game currently on this Brewers roster, or has a good chance of being in the All-Star game. Who?
Sal Frelick?
No. If you look at the outfielders, no, he's not going to, he ain't no chance. So if it's just Freddie Peralta, then the decision is, okay, would I rather have Freddie Peralta for an inning, or would I rather have Mizorowski for an inning? That's the debate you have when you're selecting your Brewer. And if it's me as a coach in the All-Star game, I think I'd rather go with the kid, with all due respect to Freddie Peralta. Now, Peralta's not going to be happy. Veterans around baseball probably won't be happy. That kid with five starts hops over a guy that's been doing it all season long and doing it well. But if we're being honest, Mizorowski probably makes more sense in a one-inning scenario. And from a Major League Baseball standpoint, it makes a lot more sense. With all due respect to Peralta, people aren't tuning in to watch him. People will most definitely tune in to see Jacob Mizorowski in the All-Star game.
Yeah, I think a lot of things have to happen for Miz to get into that conversation. I don't think Miz is, or I don't think Dave Roberts is going to pick Mizorowski over, you know, someone
that's nice,
more,
though.
More
experienced. Yeah. The last start he's going to have is going to be against Dave Roberts.
Well, maybe. I mean, anything could happen. I think a lot of other things have to happen before Miz gets into that spot. And listen, you know, we keep talking about, you know, his innings and his pitch limits too. I mean, do you want him to pitch that one inning in the All-Star game where it's meaningless, or do you want him to pitch that one inning here where it's going to mean something? You know, it'd be nice for it to happen. It'd be great exposure. It'd be great attention. But, you know, every inning counts right now. And you got to take that into account too.
I've got another one that we brought up yesterday on the show that you and I haven't talked about yet. That new rule in the CBA, I believe, you tell me if I'm wrong, if he finishes in the top three in Rookie of the Year, they lose a year of service time. So yeah. If he finishes top three, and right now he's one, if you go around and look at odds and everything else, he's one. So then the debate becomes, well, are we better off sending him down when Woodruff comes up? Are we better off just putting him in the bullpen to throw one-inning deals until middle of September, bring him back up, and essentially kind of take him out of the Rookie of the Year race on purpose, and we have to say we're saving his innings?
I don't think that's a conversation they're having. I mean, it fits the narrative of the whole cheap organization, blah, 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 but
yep.
I really don't think that's part of the conversation they're having. Listen, I would not be surprised if he is the guy that gets sent down when Woodruff comes back, and it will have nothing to do with how he's pitching or unfair stuff. It'll be more of a matter of, okay, we need to manage this guy's workload. We need to manage this guy's innings. It's a lot easier to piggyback a guy at AAA and shorten his starts than it is at the big league level without taking up another bullpen spot. I don't think they want to move him into a bullpen role. I think they want to keep him in a starting role as much as humanly possible this year and keep him on the schedule, because you can also manage that a lot better. I just don't see them moving him out of a starting role until they absolutely have to.
Oh, they sent him down to AAA. That'll take him out of the Rookie of the Year race as well. Mr. Wagner, thank you so much for coming on. Always a pleasure. Enjoy your weekend. Brewers and the Rockies catch. Andrew Wagner brought to you by Focus Baseball coming up. But before every Brewers game with the leadoff show powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook with Tommy Wirtz tonight, that show from 6 until 7. Thank you, Mr. Wagner.
See ya.